I don't ever take it lightly anytime I have the opportunity to share things that God's put on my heart. And the great privilege to be able to stand and share with you guys, or share with anybody, the things that God's been saying. And can we just go to the Lord in prayer real quick? God, I just ask that you would take this time and you'd anoint it, God, that you would anoint my lips, God, to speak what you want, God, that you would anoint the ears to hear, God, your heart tonight, God, that they wouldn't hear an agenda, and that they wouldn't hear my words, but God, that they would hear your words, God, that they would bring life and bring fruit, God, that you break every stronghold, God, that you bring healing to every life, in Jesus' name. The pastor called me about 2 o'clock today, and he said, my voice is about to give out. Would you mind filling in for me? And, like, man, anytime they give me the opportunity, I'll always jump at it. The downside of that being, there's only 3 hours between then and now, and you know, I've been praying, I've been spending time with God, I've spent a lot of time with God over the last couple of weeks, and I got, you know, I'm always preparing my messages for youth, and usually they run anywhere from, you know, a week, 2 weeks behind wherever God's already had me and God's been dealing with me. And so, you know, I already had a whole bunch of things in my spirit, but you just never really know really what's going to come out. And so I was praying and spending some time with God, and I had a couple of different thoughts, and I had a little bit of a hard time putting them all together. But we're just going to kind of follow through and see what God says. The first thought, John, if you can put that first image up. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. This is the thought that came to mind. You ever heard the phrase that something was all bark but no bite? And, you know, I think in a lot of ways, the church has been that way for too long. And this is kind of where I've been with my students over the last couple of weeks, has been really talking with them, saying, you know, what does that verse really mean when it says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk? You can put that verse up. It says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Well, what does that mean? What does it look like? And I kind of had this thought, and it was, how would the scriptures be different today that we read if Peter, James, John, and the other disciples lived like we did? Would the stories be the same? I mean, you read in about Peter. Peter's on his way to pray. The Bible says it was as was his custom, and he passes by this guy at the Gate Beautiful day in and day out. And one day he stops and he says, "You know what? Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." But if Peter had not been accustomed to going to the temple every day, if instead he was watching X Factor or some of the whatever the other reality, you know, I'm so out of the loop because I don't have cable anyway, so would it still be in there? When I read the scriptures, I always try to take and say, well, you know, like I read about Jesus and his life, and I say, well, if Jesus was here today, what would it look like? Where would he, if Jesus held a job today, what would it be? When Jesus had his classes with his disciples, where would they be? Would he be in the church? Would he be in a classroom in the back? Would he be teaching Sunday school? What would it look like? And that's a lot of the way that I look at scripture as I'm trying to apply it to my life. When I, you know, we want to hear what he was saying, the way he would have said it to who he was talking to. You know, when Jesus was talking, he was talking as a Jew to Jewish people. He was talking to an agricultural society. So a lot of times Jesus used parables, and he would talk about seeds, and he would talk about sowing, he'd talk about reaping, he'd talk about vines, he'd talk about harvesting. And it was a language that they understood because they did it every day. But now if Jesus was talking to a chemical engineer, he probably wouldn't be talking about seeds and vines and stuff like that unless they were, you know, making Roundup. I don't know. Anyway, I got a video I want to open up with tonight. Don, if you could play that clip. And I want you guys to just pay attention because I believe this is God's heart today.
Okay. Do you have anything physically that gives you any trouble? At all?
Back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So is it hurt right now? Like when you're moving around?
A little bit.
So like if God healed it, you'd know right away? Dude, God will take that from you right now.
Yeah, come on.
I'm so serious, man.
He loves you guys so much.
Come on, man. Let us pray for you. Okay, let me see your hand. What's your name?
DeAndre.
DeAndre. DeAndre, you're amazing, man. You are. You have amazing purpose, dude. You're amazing. Father, I thank you for DeAndre in Jesus' name. Back, I command you right now in Jesus' name. Let him go. Every bit of pain, let him go. Every muscle, every tendon. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Every disc right now, let him go. Man, I'm hearing this. You get back pain all the time. You get a constant. It's a constant.
Yeah.
Man, sit. Take your backpack away from your back and sit back the whole way. I got to see something because I'm hearing the same thing. Let me see your feet. Okay. It's the same thing. I want you to look and see. Come down here. You want to see this from this angle. Come down here and tell me which leg is short. Come here. Let's throw in your back out. Wait. The left one, right? It's at least an inch short, right?
And I broke it.
You broke it, and they put it back together, and they didn't put all the pieces back.
Yeah, I broke it.
Ready to get a piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, watch. Daddy, thank you. In Jesus' name. Left leg, I command you
there
grow.
Did you
right
see
now,
that?
In Jesus' name.
Okay. Yeah, I felt it. I felt that, bro. It was good. Yeah, I felt it.
What'd you feel?
I felt the movement. I felt the movement.
Right in here.
I felt the movement.
Where did you break it? Right in here?
No, I broke my ankle. I broke my fibula.
Wow.
Right on. So it was coming right out, dude.
I felt that though.
Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
That is amazing,
and
dude.
Now check the back.
Yeah, check your back. Stand
check
up and
back.
Check your back. It's done.
How'd you do that?
Oh, it's done. Here's
Jesus
what I did.
Did
I just prayed in Jesus' name, and Jesus healed him right now. Yeah. Like, do you get, he's actually flowing through me, through the Holy Spirit. I'm no healer, but the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. It's good. It's good, man. It's good. Come on, man. Is your back good?
Yeah.
Completely good. Did you break it?
Yeah.
Did you break it in fighting?
Huh?
You did. You busted it on someone's forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to show you how merciful God is because his grace is amazing. See, you broke it off of someone's forehead, man. A few days ago. Come on. Daddy, thank you in Jesus' name. Hand, we command you. Be healed. Father, thank you for mercy in Jesus' name. Every bone right now, I command you. Go back to where you belong. Right now, in Jesus' name. Move it.
All right, man.
What are you feeling?
Oh, it's great.
You know, Jesus loves you so much.
That's really good.
He healed you because he loves you.
He loves you, man. He loves you uncontrollably, man.
Can I ask you a question? What did it feel like to have God heal your hand?
After you punched someone in the forehead. And God didn't say, I can't believe you. He said, I love you. Come on. Boom.
You know, and I feel the Lord saying he just wants to be a father to you. He's got protection over you. What do you think of that?
Real good. Yeah.
You know what?
There's been a whole bunch of stuff in your life that has hurt you and made you angry. And, you know, you've got it all penned up because there's some things that have gone wrong. But God wants to take all that out of your heart, too.
Yeah.
Make you feel really happy inside.
Yeah, man.
You want to feel happy inside?
Oh, yeah.
Can I pray for you? Father, I just pray for your joy
you, Jesus.
To fill him now and for
thank
all the
Lord.
Tension and the fear and the anger to leave his heart now in thank Jesus' name and for your joy to bubble up on the inside. Amen. How's that feel?
Yeah.
Feel good?
Yeah. Which ankle is it?
Right.
Yep. You see it. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Ankle, we command you be made whole right now. Cartilage, I command you be restored in Jesus' name, right now. Move your ankle. Oh. Stomp on it. Stomp on it.
Oh, it's coming back, bro.
Yeah, come on. Hey, this is not good, bro.
Hey, you're about to blind coming up here.
In Jesus' name, Lord, you're amazing. We just love you and thank you. You're going to feel warmth go in your chest right now.
Jesus, thank you. Jesus' name. You feel that? It's like a real heat in your chest right now. Here, check this out. You want to know what happened? Here's the deal. You're called to a generation of radical followers of Jesus that don't like just go to church on Sunday, but you do the stuff, man. Don't you want to do the stuff? Don't you want to see miracles and signs and wonders like every day? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be neat to like have a buddy or have a friend that is totally messed up and you say, listen, I know what God did for me and I want to pray for you. And then all of a sudden, God heals them through you because you're a Christian. You're a vessel for God to flow through. I see a radical generation of people that are going to rise up and be the church that God's called us to. He hasn't called us to bow down to like different stuff, but to worship Him in spirit and truth, man. You guys are radical and God loves you so much.
Tell her what happened.
My hand was broken. I was scrapping. And then she prayed for God that we'll get healed, and it did. It feels a lot better. I can tell it now. Every time I close it, like, it hurt.
So when you closed it before, it hurt because you had knocked somebody in the head with it, right? And so God loves you enough to, even though you made a mistake by using it to hurt someone, God healed the hurt in your hand. You can move it completely fine now?
Yeah.
Is there any pain at all in it? All gone, completely gone. So what do you think of this Jesus that healed you? He's a great God, isn't he? Right on.
I felt, my foot was my left foot was one inch shorter than my right foot. So he prayed for my left foot to grow. And as he was speaking, I felt my leg moving and growing.
You actually felt that move and grow?
Yeah.
But
is
it feeling different now?
It feels like... I don't know. It feels great.
And your back then got healed too because you had said you had a sore back. So what happened with your back?
I feel my back. I felt the warmth down my spine, and like it doesn't hurt like every minute. So.
Wow. So your back's healed now too. So you sit on a bus bench and you get your leg healed and your back. What do you think of Jesus?
An important person.
Yeah. He sure loves you.
He's amazing, man.
And what about you? What happened? You felt warmth in your chest, and you had a condition in your heart, right? Was it water or fluids in there? And then after the warmth came on your chest, then what happened? It just feels normal now? What do you think about this Jesus who heals? He's great. He's great.
It's so amazing.
Have you both received Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yeah.
What about the rest of you? You have too? Awesome.
Okay. Do you have anything physically that gives you any trouble?
No, I'm just going to repeat. That's happening today. That's what God created every single one of y'all to do. Not just these guys that you see on video. That's what I think of when I see 1 Corinthians 4:20. It says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. See, oftentimes the problem with the American church today is that we don't live out the values we speak and we declare. We're very quick to tell somebody what I believe. They even take out our Bible and argue with somebody to prove what we believe, but then turn around and so oftentimes not live it out. D.C. Talk put it this way. He said that the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus Christ with their lips but deny Him with their lifestyle and their actions. You see, if you look at our nation and the situation and circumstance that we're in as our nation, if Christians would just vote biblical values, we would have already seen change in our nation. But now unemployment's at an all-time high. Food stamp dependence is at an all-time high. Government dependence is at an all-time high. The American pipe dream, so to speak, is crashing. You see, God's dream is and has always been bigger and higher than the American dream. You see, it was never God's plan for widows and orphans to be taken care of by the government. In James, it tells us that it's the church's responsibility to take care of widows and orphans. It says, if any man considers himself to be religious but can't keep a tight rein on his tongue, his religion is in vain. He deceives himself and it's worthless. But true religion before the Father is this, to take care of widows and orphans and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You see, it was God's plan for the church to do it. People have made a lifestyle of trying to live beyond their means. Today's generation thinks that they're entitled to start off with the very things that their parents have worked their whole entire life for. We have an entitlement generation. And the reality is that the only thing that we're entitled to because we're living is hell. The only thing we're really entitled to because of the way that we lived our life and because of sin that's already a part of our DNA, a part of who we are. I read a news article today. It was on the Drudge Report. And it said that more people die today from suicide than car crashes. You know, what has brought us as a nation to this point? What has brought us as a society to this point? You know, you look at the church. The Bible says that judgment begins in God's house. Judgment begins with us. When the first place God's going to point a finger is us. And it's up to us. We have a voice. We just have to use that voice and take it and turn around and use it. You see, if the disciples operated in signs and wonders and miracles, and if the anointing that's poured out in the last days is greater than it was then where are we at today? For a long time, we've been weak and anemic as a church. John, can you put that... The slide that we pulled from Ms. Kim's thing she was using. We've been talking about the biblical holidays and how historically Jesus fulfilled the spring holidays in his first coming and how prophetically Jesus is going to fulfill, most scholars believe that Jesus is going to fulfill the fall holidays with his second coming. Okay? And if you look at this and you study it, you have the Feast of Trumpets, which took place exactly 1 week ago. And then you have the Day of Atonement, which Pastor taught on this morning. I like it when Pastor pulls stuff out that I don't know. You know, he's talking about the veil and how each one has a different name. One is called the way, one is called the truth, and one is called life. And so when Jesus made the statement, it said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into God's presence except through me. Boy, he was really saying more than we thought he was, huh? No wonder the Pharisees got ticked off. Because he was saying, you know what? Your religious way of doing things, God is completely and totally rearranging the system. He's fixing to go away from legalism. He's fixing to step into grace. I looked at in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples, they're walking through this field, and they're picking heads of grain off, and they're eating it on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees come to him, and they're like, you're not supposed to be doing this. This is not lawful. This is not right. And they get into this conversation about what is work. Because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are real legalistic. And so they get into this conversation about what is work. And Jesus says, you know, if your donkey falls in a ditch, wouldn't you go get it out? Or are you just going to leave it there? And they keep talking, and Jesus walks into the temple, and there's a guy who has a withered hand, and Jesus, just to prove a point, heals him on the Sabbath, which the Pharisees considered that work. You see, legalism and the law would rather you be stuck in your situation and circumstance than see you healed and delivered and set free. Legalism would have never went to the cross. They'd have took the law and beat you to death with it. There would have been no grace. But God in his love and his mercy came and he extended grace. Now, if you look back at that slide that is not there anymore, then they believe Jesus' return. The early church believed Jesus would return either before or on the Day of Atonement because they expected him to continue the pattern that he set. You see, his first pattern was Passover. Jesus' death occurred on Passover. His burial occurred on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. His resurrection occurred on First Fruits. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. There's a pattern he set. And so they say, you know what? We really believe God's going to stick to this pattern. So if he wants to stick to that pattern, then sometime between last Sunday and this Wednesday would be the time frame that they're looking, saying, okay, this is when. If there's ever a time that Jesus is coming, this is most likely it. Now, the Bible says that we won't know the day, we won't know the hour, but it does say that we'll know the season. We will know the signs. We will know, how many of you know that our world is getting worse? Chaos is at an all-time high. In fact, today on the news, there's an article on Drudge Report from Iran. They're now saying that they may make a preemptive strike on Israel if they think Israel is going to attack them. And for those of you who don't know, this big buildup of military power in the Middle East, the between Syria, Iran, Russia, and Israel, the war of Gog and Magog from Jeremiah 28 and 29, prophesied long time ago. Today we're living in a time when biblical prophecy is being fulfilled, but at the same time, God's mercy and his grace and his power is being poured out at an all-time high. And the question is, are you going to be a part of it? You see, God didn't just save us to sit on a pew and take up space. I tell my kids this all the time. You're never going to change the world sitting at home playing video games. There's nothing wrong with video games. You can have fun. You can relax. You can sit down. You can enjoy some good time. God didn't create you for that. God's purpose and plan for your life is not to watch television 40 hours a week. But statistics tell us the average American watches 20 to 30 hours of television a week. That's a part-time job. Statistics also tell us that Christians spend an average of about 2 hours a week in prayer and the Word. So there's a disbalance here. We're taking in all this information. I get a lot of emails about youth culture and things that are going on with our kids today. I got an email the other day. It was an article from Doug Fields' site talking about dances and proms and the songs that are being played. His daughter was asking, Daddy, can I go to the dance? Can I go to the dance? And he said, well, let me see what they're playing. The school had sent home a playlist of songs they were going to play. And they were playing the quote-unquote clean versions. But if you look at the lyrics of these songs, it's something adults don't even need to be reading or saying, let alone a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14, 15, even 18-year-olds. So you look at the media that they're consuming. I don't know when the last time you guys bought anything on iTunes, but they're not free. Costs money to buy those things, and then they're getting the money from somewhere. Very few 13-year-olds have a job. You talk about the girl in Walmart that, you know, everybody knows. And she walks on out, and everybody's like, I can't believe you're wearing that. She really shouldn't be out in public with it, but the bottom line is she don't have a job, and she didn't buy that with her money. Somewhere along the line, as parents, grandparents, leaders, we've been aiding and abetting the pattern. And all of a sudden, we won't change. Change has to begin with us. You see, in the church, we keep going in circles. We come and repent, and we talk to God about the same failures over and over and over in our life, when in reality, we should be at a point and a place where we're not only living out purity and holiness, but we're walking in power and demonstration so that we can go make a difference and we can go change lives. I mean, for the most part, I'm talking to the core of the church. You guys are here all the time. Some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. And that's not a joke. Some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. But what are we doing for the kingdom? What are we doing in our community? What are we doing to make a difference? Are we just attending services on Sundays and Wednesdays and then just going through the motions during the week, or are we really making a difference in other people's lives? I mean, if Jesus was to return Wednesday, are you ready? If Jesus came back Wednesday, would you have any regrets? What would you have done different in the last week if you had known for sure Jesus was coming back? And what's crazy is if you stick with that prophetic pattern, if he doesn't come back Wednesday or Thursday, then odds are you got a year till he does it again. What are you going to do in the next year to maximize your time? How are you going to make the most impact for the kingdom? Now, don't get me wrong. God's sovereign. If he wants to come back next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, he can. There's nothing that says he has to stick with his timeline or his pattern. He's God. He gets the prerogative, you know? If you were God, you get have say so too. You know, in the church, We're real big on in sermons and messages trying to bring people to a point of praying a prayer. I look in Scripture, there's only one place that we really model that from. It's John, if you want to pull it up, it's Romans 10:9. It says, if you believe in heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. That's what we base the idea of the sinner's prayer off of. But can I tell you that more times in Scripture, it says, come follow me. It doesn't say, go pray a prayer. Jesus emphasized over and over and over again, come follow me. Come live the life that I live. Come walk with me. Come shadow me. Come be a part of my kingdom. Again, in our American culture, we're big on talking things. You see, what if the requirements for heaven weren't the prayer you prayed, but rather the things he did? Us doing the things he did. Because he said, greater things I have done, you will do because I go to the Father, right? What if the contingency for heaven was us doing the things he did every day of our life and us being what he asked us to be? Matthew 7:21 says, Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Revelations 21, we'll look at verse 12 and 17. I got that wrong. It's Revelations 22, starting in verse 12. It says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderer, the idolater, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The question is this, how secure would your eternity be if Jesus was only as committed to you as you are to him? How secure would your eternity be if Jesus was as committed to you as you are to him? How do you expect to change your culture while you are nothing but a consumer of that culture? Paul an apostle. That's very popular greeting that Paul used in his letters, but the term apostle was a military position. The purpose of that position was to go into a land that Rome had just conquered and change the culture so that when Roman leaders or dignitaries would come in, they felt like they were at home. So Paul referred to himself as a guy who was commissioned by Jesus to change culture. Are we changing our culture? Or are we being a consumer of our culture? What moves the hand of God is not sacrifice. It's not suffering, not even compassion. You see, we think that, well, I go to church, I've been at this church for a long time, I've given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, therefore I'm doing my part. What moves the hand of God is obedience. Over and over and over, Jesus says, if you love me, obey. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, show it. I've got kids in my youth group who have tough situations. And you probably will never see them here on a Sunday. It's the kind of kid that they are. And when they go through problems, they go through situations, they go talk to people that are related to them, their solution is always throwing money at it. Here's your $100, go buy you an outfit. Her boyfriend broke up with her, she's having a bad day. Here's your $100, go. Money doesn't fix everything. Jesus said that we would know that we're his disciples because of our love for one another. Let's look at Matthew 5:8. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, when you go to heaven, you're going to get to see God. But you know what? I believe you can see God here and now. I don't think you have to wait till heaven. I don't think you have to wait till heaven for the kingdom of God to flow through you. I think you can experience all the benefits of heaven here and now. But it's only going to be through purity. And we've got so much stuff in our culture that's become a part of who we are, and we don't even realize it, that it's just junk clogging up the pipes. You know, you ever had your toilet back up, and it's always because there's something in there that's not supposed to be in there. You know, over the years, stuff just builds up and builds up and builds up, and yeah, all of a sudden you have less water flowing than what you used to have flowing. And if we're a conduit that connects with God so that we can bring heaven to earth, then we got to get the junk out of us so that we have that connection and we have that stuff flowing through us. And purity is a big deal. And I'm not just talking about sexuality. I'm talking about, what are you listening to? How does it affect you? It's a proven fact that music will change your attitude. I have kids who have been through some of the worst stuff, and their attitude about themselves is awful. Some of my girls think they're nothing but objects and property. But when you look at their iPod, they're listening to this rap junk. And all it says over and over and over in the music is, you're an object and you're property. And that's what they're listening to. And it gets in their psyche. It gets inside of who they are. It gets in their spirit, and it begins to become their identity. You got girls who watch some of this fashion stuff on TV that says you got to be about this big around. And that, you know, you got a girl who weighs 80 pounds and she thinks she's fat and has a food problem. So she wants to go on a diet to lose weight. All because some television told her that she's bigger than this. So something's wrong. Our identity is, we've got to get to a place where this is our identity. It's God's word. It's what we stand on. It's what we believe. It defines who we are. It defines what we do. It defines what I can have. It defines where I go. It defines what I think. It defines every aspect of my life. And if it defines every aspect of my life, then I'm going to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. How can I possibly walk out in society and walk past the person who's hurt and wounded and broken if I'm the one who has the answer? The worst evil guy on the planet is the guy who has the cure for cancer and keeps it a secret. And we got the cure. We shouldn't be keeping it a secret. The absence of power is from the absence of purity. What are you permitting your children to do? What are you permitting? What are you aiding and abetting? What kind of example are you setting for those other people around you? You see, sometimes life throws curveballs, and sometimes you get disappointed. You know, you may be on up there in age, and you may be thinking, well, you know, my best years are behind me. I'm telling you, your best days can be ahead of you. They don't have to be behind you. We, you know, the entitlement generation, They've made a lot of mistakes. They've not valued the wisdom and advice that our elders have. There's a lot of wisdom sitting in this room. You know, to be honest with you, if the power went out tomorrow and never came back on again ever, I'd be in a lot of trouble. But some of you guys have the wisdom and the knowledge to help get me through it. You know, the kids that are behind me, generation-wise, I'd be surprised if they know how to really use a library. Google probably answers everything for them. If the internet crashed tomorrow, they'd be in trouble. Because I can tell you how much I rely on it, and I didn't grow up in it. You know, I kind of come up at the latter part of it. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He sends them out. He anoints them. He says, hey, go heal the sick. Go cleanse the leper. Go raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely give. And immediately after Jesus does that, John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus. John the Baptist is in prison at this time. From what we read in Scripture, we don't know if he ever really gets out, because the next thing we read about John the Baptist is that he's beheaded while he's in prison. So we don't know if John ever gets out in between then and the time he's beheaded or not. But at some point in time, John the Baptist is in prison. Now, John the Baptist, he's the guy who was, you know, baptizing people in the desert. He's the crazy guy eating locusts, dressing in camel hair fashion. I mean, he's a pretty crazy guy living out on the edge. And he's the one who said, this is the guy. He'd been preaching for a long time saying, Jesus is coming. There's coming one who's going to be greater than me. He's going to baptize you with fire. You know, I baptize you with water, but he's going to come. And I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. And Jesus walks out on the scene, and John says, this is the guy. This is who I've been talking about. This is God's son. This is Jesus. The heavens open up. A dove descends from heaven on Jesus. John hears with his own ears a voice from heaven that says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. But because John's situation and circumstance in his life wasn't going exactly the way he wanted, you know, John would have never made it on TBN. He wasn't preaching that you could have your best life now and you could have a car with, you know, 10 SUVs and all this other stuff, that your life's going to be amazing. But John had this expectation of what Jesus was going to be like and what Jesus was going to do. And Jesus apparently wasn't measuring up, because John sends his disciples to Jesus and he says, are you the one, or should I expect somebody else? Hey, dude, you just saw heaven split open and God say, this is my son. And Jesus sends word back to him. He says, go tell him that the dead are raised, the blind see, the lame walk, the gospel of the kingdom is preached all over. Blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. I keep thinking, well, why would Jesus say that? Jesus himself said, blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. And what he means by that is, blessed is the guy who doesn't let his expectations of who he thinks I should be get in the way of who I really am. And I know I've been all over the map today talking about all kinds of things, just really sharing my heart, some things that God's put in there. But the reality is that if we are the next generation church, and if we are living in the end times in which the greater glory is poured out, in which the greater anointing is poured out, then I don't know about you guys, but I pictured it different from this. I pictured it different from what we go through every day and the way we live every day. I picture it different. You know, I don't picture the same person coming up 5 times to be prayed for healing from cancer. I just don't picture it that way. I see one prayer, one healing. Next, please. One prayer, one healing. Next, please. So is the problem with God or is the problem with us? God hasn't changed. God's the same God who raised the dead, who cleansed the leper. He hasn't changed. His grace, his love, his mercy hasn't changed. You may stop and examine your life and look at your life and say, you know what? I'm the least likely candidate for God to use. His mercy and His grace are more than enough. You can never be too bad. You can never be too far away. You can never be too old. You can never be too young for God to use you. God wants to use you. You ever thought about that? That God actually wants to use you. Not just me and Pastor. He wants to use you to do signs and wonders and miracles. He wants to use you to help change this world. So where are you at in all this? If you examine your heart, you examine yourself, your pipe's a little clogged up, how are you on the purity level? There's some junk in there that maybe you could get out of the way. Now, I say all this to say that our nation is in trouble. We are the answer. But right now, we haven't been looking like the answer. So it's time for us to get some things lined up so we begin to produce what the book advertises. And the only way to do that is have right relationship with God and let the Holy Spirit flow through you and be real. Take that step when you're at Walmart. You see somebody in line that looks like they're struggling or having a bad day. Step out on faith. Trust God that He'll be there. If you want us all to do as our musicians get ready. You know what? For years, the church has not really been what we advertised. I got students who won't come over here because they feel like they're judged when they walk in the back door. You try to tell them 100 times over that, you know, we really love you, we really care about you, they're not judging you, and, you know, you can't get it into their head. But that's the reputation the church has had for so long. Not just this church, the church. And, you know, if we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, if we really, you know, our marquee sign says that Life Church, a place of love and healing. If we're going to really see that, something's got to change in us so that God can flow through us. Because it shouldn't be just the healing team from the healing rooms that's laying hands on people and seeing them healed. It should be all of us, because God wants to use all of us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Church, it's time for us to repent. Not a word we use a lot, not a word we hear a lot, but it's time for us to get the sin and the junk out of our personal lives and step up to a place where we're walking in the fullness of God, so that we're bringing change, healing, and deliverance to other people. Because if you're not changed, healed, and delivered yourself, how in the world are you going to bring change, healing, and deliverance to somebody else? And if that's you tonight, and you say, you know what, I feel like I'm chained up, I feel like I need healing, I feel like I need deliverance, this is an opportunity for you to experience freedom. And what I want us to do as a church is we're going to just go through a time of just repenting. I want everybody to stand at your feet. Get out of your comfort zone. Get away from your comfortable spot. I challenge all of you to come up to the front, every last single one of you. Begin to tell God, not just, I'm sorry. Begin to repent. Because it doesn't matter how good you think you are. Jesus said on our best day, our righteousness is like a dirty cloth. And to be blunt, the original terminology was talking about a used menstrual cloth. You can't get much more gross than that, in my opinion. And on your best day, that's what your righteousness looks like. Let's seek the face of God. Let's seek the heart of God. And I know God will meet us. I know God will meet us. God, we just come before you right now. God, as a church body, we want to repent. God, we want to repent for not being what you called us to be. God, our pride has kept us from too long of being what you called us to be, God.
we've let our life, our wants, our desires, our plan, our dream, God, get in the way of what you wanted. God, we need you. God, we need you to move here and now, God. We need you to break off the stony hearts, God. God, that you would give us a heart of compassion. God, that you would give us a heart, God, of flesh, God. God, that we would not be just so cold. God, that you would really, truly release life inside of us, God. God, that you shake off the complacency, God. God, that you give us a hunger and a passion for your word, God, so that we can actually know you. God, we don't just know about you, but God, we know you, God. We walk in relationship with you, God. God, we walk in power and in demonstration and authority. God, not because of how good we are, but because of how faithful and gracious you are to us, God. Because, God, you are a God of mercy. You are a God of compassion. God, we ask you, God, that you would come fill this place. God, forgive us for where our priorities have been out of line, God. God, forgive us for where we've tried to throw our own solution at a spiritual problem. God, forgive us for those times, God, that we were not led by your spirit, God. God, we were led by some doctrine, or we were led by some idea, or we were led by some program, God, rather than being led by your spirit, because, God, only your spirit brings freedom. God, forgive us for raising up a generation that feels like they're entitled to everything. God, forgive us for being an entertainment generation, God, where we would rather be entertained than changed. God, may church become something more than just a few hours of our time, God, that we give. God, may it become our lifestyle and who we are. God, may it not matter how long we're here, God, whether we're here 30 minutes or we're here for 3 days. God, we become so wrapped up in society and the things that society has to offer, God. God, we sing songs that talk about how we ache and how we long for you, God, but on the inside, God, do we really? God, we say that we're desperate. God, we say that we're hungry, but God, are we really? God, I pray, God, for a spirit of repentance, God, to fall on the church, God. God, that we would become what you called us to be, God. God, that you would open our spiritual ears, God, not to hear what we want to hear, but God, to hear what you are saying to the church in this hour. God, to hear what you are saying, God. La, 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 la. God, stir a hunger, God, stir a passion. God, I pray right now, God, that you begin to break off the chains of complacency, God. God, I pray that right now, God, you begin to break off doubt. God, that you begin to break off fear. Put such a hunger inside of us, God. God, forgive us, God, for being so busy. God, when we go throughout our day, God, that we're not even open to listening to your instructions, oh God. And I pray for such a supernatural outbreak of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God, that when we're shopping and when we're going throughout our day, God, that you are directing our steps every step of the way. God, I pray, God, for reports, God. God, of people praying with people in the aisles of Walmart and people praying at the mall and people praying at their jobs and seeing you move, God, in signs and in wonders. God, bring us back to a place where we literally stand in awe of you. God, where we're not just going through the motions, God. We're not just having a service, but God, we really want to meet you face to face. God, we really want to know what you have to say. God, we really want to spend time with you. Not just 5 minutes at a McDonald's drive-thru window kind of spend time with you, God. God, we want to spend time with you. God, if we can't spend 30 minutes with you here, God, what makes us think we're going to spend eternity with you, God? God, become our number one passion. Become our number one desire. Forgive us, God, for being selfish. God, forgive my generation for not valuing our elders enough, God. Pray that you would give us a divine hatred for the things that you hate, God. God, give us a divine hatred for the things that steal us away from you and steal us away from your time. God, so that we're not distracted. God, we don't have time to be distracted, God. God, give us such a heart for the lost, God. God, give us such a hunger for the lost, God. God, give us a heart for discipleship, God, so that we are training up and equipping those on whom you call. And I pray for such an outpouring, God, of your Spirit. God, that in worship, healing begins to manifest, God. In worship, deliverance begins to manifest, God. That as people begin to sing songs about your goodness, God, as people begin to celebrate who you are, God, that your Spirit would be so manifested, God, and that we see change. Where we place judgment, God, when it was your point, your call, and your place alone, God, to place judgment. God, you have the right to extend grace, God, to whoever you want to extend grace to. God, who are we to judge? Who are we to say anything about it, God? Stir our hearts, God. Stir our hearts, God. God, I pray for a spirit of brokenness, God. So that, God, we're not anything without you, God. God, we can't move without you, God. We can't breathe without you, God. We can't even think right without you, God. God, we need you. You know, I think far too often we give the devil way more credit than he deserves. Sometimes I don't think that we're tenacious enough. Sometimes we don't realize that's the enemy of our soul. And we say, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be all right. Like sin in our life. It's like holding a deadly adder. It's gonna kill you. The question is not, is it going to kill you? The question is when. And so often we say, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be all right. That's just Bob. It's okay. Bob, our pet snake over here, you know, it's okay. He's not messing with nobody. It's not bothering anything. It'll be fine. When it's not a question of is it going to kill somebody, it's just a question of when. It's time that we take the gloves off, people. Time to take the gloves off concerning our kids, concerning their future. It's time to take the gloves off concerning healing. It's time to take the gloves off concerning deliverance. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to be the church. If you're in the middle of a struggle right now, and you need healing, or you need deliverance, or you just need God to move on your behalf, I'd like the opportunity to pray with you. We're going to open up the front. If you want somebody to pray with you regarding your situation, I'd love that opportunity.
you for joining us for today's message. We hope that you were encouraged and challenged in your walk with Christ. Until next time, may the blessings of the Lord rest on you and your family.